everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always. We'll take you to 3 and hand it off to our great friend Phil Donati's fine show behind the bench. Take you to 6. I'd like to say that as we segue to the Giants after Phil wraps things up, that we'll be looking at a very meaningful game for the Giants. And in all honesty, a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, the Giants had come from 7 or so back in about 5 different teams to momentarily, and I do mean momentarily, take that wild card lead by half a game, and they have just folded up since then. It's been a terrible stretch, only a couple of wins in the last week and a half, and because of it, they're relegated now to playing out the string and looking at some of the new guys coming in, but they and the Cardinals, who also will fall short for the playoffs, will have their second game of 3. Tonight, the A's are over on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedules a little bit later on. Courtesy of our pal Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. I'll tell you more about the great work Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, when we go over the schedule a little bit later on. Jackson, as usual, with us today, our de facto co-host, the first of 2 visits. And by the way, I did want to mention to Mark. Mark, I still have your email from last week. This being the bye week on Thursday, because today, Jackson, I'll be wrapping things up, his point of view from the weekend that was. But on Thursday, we will get to your questions about the pack. So I still have that email, like a lot, that I haven't gotten to, but I will get to it on Thursday, if at all possible. Before we get to Jackson, a little bit of time with our other great lead dogs, as we do every day, for the friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and our pals at KFC, in addition, of course, to the aforementioned Ed Dunkel and Precision Civil Engineering. First off, with KFC, mention this, if you're on your way home early or thinking about a late lunch or maybe an early dinner or just a 5 o'clock look at things, keep in mind the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman have the great limited-time offer bringing back the hot and spicy wings and the potato wedges. These are fan favorites. They're just terrific, and they're there right now, so pick them up at the local operators. Also, the KFC chicken sandwich right now. They're special for just $3.99. Others are reducing the amount they give you and increasing the price. KFC chicken sandwich, still bigger and now better than ever, and just $3.99 for a limited time. So stop by those local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also keep in mind, on Tuesday you still have the $10 eight-piece bucket, which is a great offer. And on Wednesdays, you have the country fried steak for just $5.99. So great, great opportunities there. And the biggest thing, if you stop by, because we're so pleased that KFC is part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, stepping up to help Fresno State financially in these NIL times, tell them thanks. So if you stop by and you grab wedges or wings or a bucket or a KFC chicken sandwich, and you're there in Fresno and Clovis, Selma, or Kerman, say thanks to just everybody around, even the person who's right there at the window, for being part of the solution, because it is really important. And it's something that, you know, in Mark's email talking about what he expects to see from the pack, we know this. If you saw the story in the B today, you'll know a lot more money to spend on those teams from the Mountain West that are coming along with Fresno State to the pack than the Bulldogs have right now. So it's really, really important, and we appreciate the international, national, and local entities of KFC for being part of the solution right now. The other reminders, I mentioned Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They have been a sponsor for a long, long time. Terrific local people, been in NorCal, in Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've been to work even during COVID. Really professional people, very timely. So any need you have, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or go to the web at leesair.com. Also, they sponsor the leesair.com hotline. That's how I bring Jackson up. That's how Phil brings guests up, and how he also brings calls from the general public during his show. Mark that down, 1-559-320-1430, 320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as the forecast goes, we're in fall, but in Fresno, we're really not in fall until about mid-October. 97 today, and that's pleasant enough, like I've said, for me. Anything below 103, I'm fine with it because I grew up here. But we are going to have a little bit of a change here because clouds are due in late today, and actually around midnight or so, the coast in San Francisco, that area, supposed to look at showers, and those showers should arrive in some parts of the valley by around lunchtime tomorrow. Could be some thunderstorms with those showers. There might be some parts of the valley that get a lot and other parts of the valley that miss it entirely, but it'll be in and out of here tomorrow. But the only differentiation with that statement, with the forward look of the week, is the mountain areas may see more thunderstorms on Thursday, and you always have to watch that because those thunderstorms mean, though you like the moisture up in the foothills to knock down the fires, you can also start new fires with the lightning strike. So we'll see how it plays out after the 97 today. We are looking at 86 tomorrow. That's how much it's going to fall back. 87 on Thursday, 88 Friday, 90 on Saturday, 92 Sunday, 89 on Monday. So temperature-wise, a good forecast in the lows right around the mid to high 60s, maybe 70. It's a really good forecast for creature comfort. Just be careful around the rain. And again, from an agricultural standpoint, I hope rain will not damage your crops and things that are out there. We were talking about that on air the other day. By the way, Rick had emailed me back about me talking about growing up in an agricultural family because we grew grapes in Biola off of goldenrod there, and Thompson seedless grapes, Muscat, all of that stuff. And I mentioned, because the entirety of the family was involved in it, that if things went well during harvest, then Christmas was a grand experience. You might see a brand new color TV in 1964, even though there was hardly any color shows being offered. There was a frost report on Channel 24 that was orange. That's all you would see. And a rough and ready cartoon in the morning on Saturdays. That was it. But you had the color TV, right? Or you had the brand new Lincoln Continental. Then the next year, things didn't go well, and everybody gave you stuff like those little paddle boards that have the little orange ball on them. That would be your Christmas. So, look, I know the variance. I know what can happen when things don't go well. Hopefully, in this day and age, I think everybody, major farming entities, of course, have their crop insurance. Then in the mid-60s, your crop insurance was going to Sacred Heart and kneeling at the altar and praying. That's the rosary beads. That was your crop insurance in the 60s. Anyway, thanks, Rick, for that particular email. All right. Thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time with the weather, and I want to turn right now finally to our great buddy, Joe Cruz.
At Helena Agri Enterprises, we're committed to helping you make the best agronomic decisions for your...
And, also we can remind everybody about the great agribusiness, too. Thanks, Jorge. Joe Cruz has been a booster at Fresno State now for 3-plus decades. His great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating his 25th anniversary here in town. Joe has been very successful with his family-friendly business. You can locate it at 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Joe is there. Gabriel Mullins, who works for Joe, is there as well. More information, superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade chemical hoses, it's all there under one roof. The main aspect about this business, if you are dealing with a valve in particular in your business from an industrial standpoint, you might be at a plant, a maintenance person, you might be somebody who works around a boiler service, you might have a tanker delivery service, anybody who's got a valve, if it goes down, your business goes crashing down with it. What Joe can do is analyze on a same-day situation what your problem is, give you an estimate right then, and get started same day to solve your problem.
I'm just trying
before
my hardest.
It becomes a major issue. Then, after that, after they have solved, he and Gabe have solved your issues, Joe will spend some time with you, if you've got it, to tell you what he does for Fresno State as a great booster. And one more time, the best avenue right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link right there at the top. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle. information for tickets and parking for all events on campus, and then finally under ways to give the individual sports clubs. Quarterback club for football, Jackson, has been a guest at the QBC meetings at Belmont Country Club. Also, Jack Fertig with me tomorrow to talk basketball. Board of Directors, Timeout Club for men's basketball. They'd love to have more members. Jack has said call him directly, 559-287-3305. That's his cell. Or hit him up on his email, fertigjack@aol.com, for more information. By the way, on the 13th of October, you will have the tip-off dinner at Pardini's, so more information about that as well. Jack can give you, and I'll talk to him about it tomorrow. Also, Dugout Club is there under ways to give for baseball, and other links for men's and women's sports right there under ways to give. And it helps out a great deal at Fresno State, and it segues to, again, the collective that is BulldogBread.com. That's how KFC is involved. That's how a lot of people have gotten involved. Marcus McMurrian took over from Chris. Chris started at the station, handed it off to Marcus, one Bulldog legend of the 80s to one of just a few years ago. Marcus doing a great job right now with it. Any donation you have, any sponsorship idea, he wants to hear from you. BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. So thanks to one and all. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All of them terrific people. Stop by, tell them all thanks for jumping aboard the Fresno State Collective train. All right, that having been said, let's turn to our longtime friend and longtime co-host, and that is the king of the barkboard, the hardest working man in all of show business. It is Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I have got an allergy battle from me to you and back again right now in this, you know, which is really nice weather. But again, one more time, Jackson, every day doing the show laying down is not a lot of fun. You know, you talk about someone who's laying down in the job, but you can make your own joke about my profession, okay? But I'm telling you, it would be nice to clear the chest cavity one time before this show. The last time I was able to do that was probably, I don't know, on location at some restaurant in 2001. That was probably it. And you were with me in 2001, weren't you? No?
9-year-old,
yeah. Well, that was the issue I believe I had with child labor laws at the time. They wanted to know why my co-host was 9 years old. So anyway, I appreciate you asking. So everything nifty with you? You feeling great? You moving forward in the prime of your life here?
Yes, just got back into town on a red-eye flight this morning. So we're readjusting to Pacific time here.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're back with me. All right. A lot to get to today, and I want to start, Jackson. Well, first of all, anything more about Thomas or Walton you can add to any conversation? Anything?
Just that from seeing Braden Walton at the game, he was in a boot and crutches, so you know that's at least not probably an ACL or a knee or you know one of the biggest injuries you can suffer on that leg that you fear when an offensive lineman goes down like that. I know when I saw him in high school this past fall last year, he went down, and I wasn't sure if he was even going to be able to play Bulldogs as a freshman. And little did I know, he enrolled early, and he's already practicing in the spring. So you know, hopefully he bounces back as quick as he did at time as well. And then Tim Thomas, officially no longer on the roster, puts the Bulldogs in a pretty thin spot at linebacker now. Jaden Pearson and Kavion Thunderbird are playing fantastic right now, but you got to keep those two guys healthy through the end of the season, or you're going to have some unexpected growing pains there. So hopefully the Dogs stay healthy.
Well, again, this is a team that is 4-1 right now, and you could not ask for a better start given the fact that it was going to be a tough road to hoe. We knew that at Kansas to start. That having been said, Jackson, there are some things that continue to come up in the emails. A lot of them still about Warner, and I wanted to make this clear because, and again, JJ, I appreciate the email you sent, really spot on, and Rick, once again, thanks for your recap of the weekend. You always give me a chuckle at the same time. But the issues we've talked about with Warner, and I want to make this more general, Jackson, than just specific on EJ, but and this is my take on it anyway, you've got a situation where when you're a quarterback, and we've talked about this so often, you can have six great plays on a drive, and if you make a mistake on the seventh play, it isn't like being a guy who goes 3 for 4 in Major League Baseball but strikes out with the bases loaded in the ninth. You still had a day statistically that looks good, and they're not going to assail you for not coming through in the ninth. In basketball, you can be somebody who's 0 for 10 from the field and make a shot at the end, and that's all people remember. Or you can have a great statistical day. And there are other parts of football where you can have a good day. You can have a wide receiver who goes for 200 yards and maybe drops a ball late, and they look at all of that and they take it in totality. Quarterback position, as we've talked, Jackson, is the one that more than any other, it is literally what have you done for me lately, meaning the last play you've had. You can take a great drive, like we said, make terrific plays with your feet, with your arm, decision-making, and then you go downfield and you throw an out pattern at the 5-yard line and somebody, you know, jumps the route and goes the other way, and all you hear about afterward is, you know, again, the old Bill Walsh line, right? You played just well enough to get us beat. Warner has played a lot better as the season has moved forward, and I thought he played much better against Hawaii. But the question keeps coming up, Jackson. Because he came from schools that weren't that good around him, the pressure a QB has to make the play when things around him aren't going great, as opposed to knowing you've got a defense and a running game, or if they're loading the box, guys wide open in the flat because the defense has committed to the box, and you just need to be patient and not try to be the guy who makes the difference in every play because you don't need to, like maybe in your previous stops. Has that been an issue with Warner, in your opinion, and people haven't been fair enough about it? And is it something he's getting better about? How do you feel on all fronts there?
You know, I'd say from, you know, being up close and personal and making these road games and just observing Warner, yeah, you never feel like the guy is under pressure. I know he had a bit of a reaction to maybe some of the picks against Georgia Southern, but just as of lately, it just feels like there's no emotion there at all. I just see he's running the offense and keeping the dogs afloat, and you just don't see much there, and I think that's a good thing because some of the emotion we saw maybe over the last year or two, or it felt a little bit like panic from the position at times when right. The pass protection was breaking down or when there was a game-winning score that needed. And, you know, I think just there's a sense from Warner that he's not going to be nervous or panicked in those types of situations. But I think there's also a little bit of an underlying feeling that a mistake could come or that throw might come just at any time, not necessarily because of the situation. It's just there's a little bit there still to work, especially on the downfield throws. But in this game against Hawaii, in the short game, he was 15 of 16, and the one incompletion was a drop pass.
So, right.
I mean, that's the bulk of the offense, and he's running it about as well as possible. It's just there's still a little bit missing as far as the downfield threat. And I know on the offensive side of the ball, the Bulldogs, a lot of those guys were kicking themselves even right after the game, even after the win. So, I know they're taking it to heart a bit, but they are executing, most of what they want to do. I think, as you mentioned, if the dogs are running well and they're playing good defense, everything comes together pretty well. And we saw in this game against Hawaii, they weren't running the ball very well, and they had to find other ways to move the ball. And they did it at times. They did enough to get the win, but you worry that at some point, it might not be good enough to get that win down the road if that's what they're going to play like. But, again, just not just Warner, but being around the team, there's such a confidence and energy from this squad that I don't remember seeing for quite some time, maybe the 22 team, just because they had so much talent, they just never thought that they were going to lose. But for a team that has this roster, to have this confidence and focus and energy, it feels like they can overcome when the team's not playing at 100% like they offense wasn't on Saturday.
Well, look, I'm going to give some due credit to Hawaii. I mean, look, we talked yesterday, Paul and I did, about the officiating. It was problematic at best. I think Paul summed it up well, talking about Matt Entz, pretty much said, you know what, when you go in that environment, you sort of expect it. I know Pat Hill's had a lot of experience about it. I know Pat will tell you at length about it. But the bottom line is Hawaii also was very aggressive. They had a lot of guys on defense that were running to the ball and hitting, and they were making it tough for Fresno State running, like you mentioned. But I will say this, Jackson, almost every time the Bulldogs have been shut down with the run game for even a series or two, with the exception of Kansas where Fresno State was dominated on the line, it has been because the defense has basically said, look, you're going to beat us anywhere but on the ground, and they load the box. And then when Fresno State starts to move through the air, then you start to see the seams. You never saw the seams against Hawaii. It was a slugfest all night long. And one of the things that came out of it, and Bob Kawada mentioned it in the B, and he's right, the defense has been terrific. And, you know, that last drive, Alejandro finally got some stuff done. The rest of the night, the Bulldogs contained his legs, and they really made it tough for him over the middle. There were a lot of other passes that could have been picked off that just happened to fall out of reach. But he did not have a good game until that last drive. But every time the Bulldogs had an opportunity, and it's been this way during the season, Jackson, after turnover, they don't seem to offensively be able to cash it in. They had a couple of defensive scores. What is the issue about after the turnover? Is it coincidental, or is there something structurally going on here?
I think in this case, probably, you know, given that credit to Hawaii's defense, I think it is a pretty solid group. Dejon Benton up the middle gave the Bulldogs a lot of issues. They're pretty solid on the edges. Their secondary has been solid. As good as Fresno State's defense was, Hawaii's defense is pretty good, too. That might be two of the better defenses in this conference, and it's not necessarily the two teams that screen defense historically when you think about the Mountain West either. So that was a little bit of a change of pace with this rivalry, but I don't know if there's too many teams left on the schedule that will be as talented as Hawaii is defensively. There should be a few. Of course, it gives the Bulldogs some trouble, but I think you do have to give some credit to the Rainbow Warriors on that one. And just this game in general, it was gritty, it was muddy, it got chippy in the middle, and just big plays were hard to come by from both sides.
The other thing that came up in the emails, and in the National Football League, you can't carry two kickers unless coincidentally your punter happens to be somebody who maybe have as greater range as a field goal kicker. And so if it gets way out there, although the way things are going in the league now, it appears that Aubrey can routinely stand there and beat you from 70. It's coming, Jackson. You watch. The 70-yard field goal is coming in a big hurry in the National Football League. But because Lynch is right now kind of like the golfer who can really let it fly off the tee, but his short game needs work. He's an NBA guy who can stroke it from three but can't hit the mid-range, or a Major League Baseball player that can, you know, hit the big home run at a given time, but he can't get the single you need to win the game in the ninth inning. I bring this up because there is room on the roster for two field goal kickers and then some in college. Do you think the Bulldogs need to look to a short-distance kicker and then Lynch with the long ranges where he appears to be more comfortable? Or are you convinced this is just a temporary malady? And I'm not talking about having the one wiped off the board, because that was a long-range kick that went through before the timeout. I'm talking about the short-range kicks that aren't going through. What about it?
Yeah, I talked with Coach out there for that fourth attempt. I mean, could have been 0-for-4, and the Bulldogs still behind if he doesn't make that last one. And Coach Inn said that it felt like it would have been trouble if he didn't send him out there, that would have sent the message that they had given up right on him, and they do feel really good about him still. So I think they stay the course. Maybe they put some more data on in practice and put him in some more high-pressure situations, because he's been making them behind the scenes, and that's why they've been feeling good about putting him out there in the games. And maybe if that changes in practice, if it becomes an issue, then they can play around. They've got two more kickers on the roster, but Ryan Kodzeff is the backup right now. A true freshman can play with fourth, who's never kicked in a game, so that
right.
would be a tough spot in a tight game if Lynch misses one or two to try to go to the next guy. But and then it's just a weird spot with Lynch as well, because career-wise, the numbers are pretty solid. There's been a few off nights that I've just got him to kind of be even with some of the Bulldog greats. I mean, if you erase a few of the bowl game, the Hawaii game now, he is one of the most efficient kickers, and you add in a couple of those bad days, and he's still pretty much on par. But, I mean, you just don't want one of those to cost you a game, especially the way that the season is rolling right now.
Well, there's no question, and Paul and I'm talking yesterday, Jackson, you had two critical plays being made that could have changed the game. And one of them was Sims making the play on the Hamilton return, that if he doesn't get there and knock Hamilton out of bounds, the Bulldogs pick up, they pick up six and should be seven with the short PAT there. And instead, the Bulldogs get only three, but that was a critical three, and that's the kick you're talking about with Lynch. And on the other side, I brought up the fact that Polendo being able to get to that ball to create a safety instead of the touchdown was a huge five-point swing and an emotional swing for Fresno State, particularly because, as we've talked, Hawaii blew the opportunity on the free kick. I bring this up, Jackson, because when this happens and drives are stalling, or if you're able to hold the other team, it all is on the leg of the kicker, and it may be a guy who's had a great game or even a terrible game. Ask the 49ers about Jake Moody before they cut him. And it comes down to that singular kick. Lynch appears to me to be mentally tough enough to get through this. Is that your view of this?
I think so. I think he proved it a bit at Oregon State. That was a big one to make that kick.
Right.
That was an extremely high-pressure one, very similar to the one he had just missed in the bowl game in the previous season. So that was a bit of redemption there. The big one at the end of the Hawaii game, and again, probably the most consequential kick was the one he made, ironically, out of everything that played out in that game. So I think if you ask the Bulldogs and the staff, probably their biggest concern is turning those red zone opportunities into touchdowns so that kicks don't have to make a decision at all about whether to worry about the kicker's performance out there. Lynch has been out there a lot this season, and it's also one of those deals where the Bulldogs, they haven't been great on making big, deep plays, but they've usually been pretty good about moving the chains, so to get bogged down in the red zone a bit is a little worrisome. Those are times when they're expecting to get those 5-6 yards at a time and keep the guys moving and hopefully punch it into the end zone. We haven't seen as much of that, I think, as they're capable of, so hopefully they get there. And yeah, as you mentioned, the Polendo play was huge, and I think just the focus on the defense in general, they played about as great of a half as you could imagine, and they were still down 9-0 the day before the Bulldogs scored before halftime, and the defense finally gives up some points on a field goal, and the team's still down 12-7. I could imagine those guys being frustrated by not getting enough help from the offense and special teams, but they never showed the discouragement. In fact, it seemed like they were kind of amped up. They were playing so well, and they still had to do more. There was kind of an unusual side of the game. There was a footage of the Bulldog sideline with the defensive players just getting real riled up after the Hawaii fumble scoop and score that made the score 9-0, and very well could have been 14-0 if not for Polendo's play. So, the defense was on fire, and they didn't seem to care what was going on the other two phases.
Well, the Thunderbird play was an eye-opener. You know, Hamilton's a guy we expect to see big plays from, and Thunderbird has played terrifically. But the speed that he showed, Jackson, was pretty impressive. Were you surprised by that at all?
Yeah, I was. We didn't quite think of him as being that fast of a downhill runner. That position where he's at, him and what was Tim Thomas, the two of them trading off at the beginning of the year, kind of more of a thumper there at the high linebacker position, with Pearson being more of the guy that flies around the field. But he sure showed that he had the wheels on that one. And it's huge that this Thunderbird edition has panned out the way that it has. And bring in a player from the Power Four that hasn't played much. Sometimes these guys need another year or two to develop or never get there at all. So for him and Pearson to be that strong duo at linebacker has just been huge. The defense looks a lot different if those two guys hadn't stepped up.
Right. By the way, our buddy Benito in Reedley at the farm there, Jackson, again, as you know, he's going to deliver eggs to you, usually with a fast-moving car and a window down, but that's a different story. He said he's glad to hear you're bringing back the lock of the week. No, Jackson is not going to be the guy bringing the lock of the week. Phil Bonatti is going to bring the lock of the week. It's called Fill Your Pockets with Cash, Bonatti, and his lock of the week. Okay, so you want to know if it's going to include the Lions. Yes, I think Phil will bring the Lions. He'll bring you, I believe it's 50 absolute winners every Friday. So stay tuned, Benito. That's my personal guarantee. By the way, Jackson is part of an investment group, right, Jackson, with Phil's nonstop picks, because he's been damned impressive on the board, has he not?
He has. You know, it's been interesting the way that the last couple of Bulldog games, you know, they've gone fairly close to script as far as kind of the homer perspective has been. We all had real close Fresno State wins on Saturday, and it sure played out that way. So I hope the Bulldogs keep backing up those predictions.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the line on Saturday, but let's just say if you're somebody who bet Hawaii plus 2.5 or 3, if you're a Hawaii fan, this is why, all kidding aside, why, if you're going to bet, that's fine, all right? But try not to bet on a game that involves your team, and this is why. If you are a Rainbow Warrior fan, and let's say you said, you know what, we're home underdogs here, maybe it's 2.5 or 3. As you know, I hardly pay attention to that. But let's just say it was 2.5, which it was. You are pulling all night long for Hawaii, and you're saying, please, please, let's win the game first and foremost. Then at the end, you're saying, you know what? Let's get under that number if possible. Then you see him drive and score, and now, Jackson, you have the wonderful dilemma. You know what I'm going to say, right? You're down 2. If Hawaii, your beloved Rainbow Warriors, fail on the 2-point conversion, barring the unlikely occurrence of an onside kick recovery, game over. Your team loses, but you win financially. However, if your team does cash in that 2-point conversion and you go to overtime, now you can lose the game by more than 2.5, of course, and then your goose is cooked. That's why, I know, Jackson, you never bet on Fresno State games, right?
I'm not betting at all anyway.
Well, that means you're never betting on Fresno State games. You see what I'm saying? But Jackson used to bet like crazy on Hawaii games, on San Jose State games, on Cal, on Stanford, on the Guam Islanders, all of those things. Jackson used inside information. So, Benito, again, I'll give you Jackson's cell number. You can give him a call, and you guys can figure it out. But you really need to bow down to Phil. It's been unbelievable, and I predict, Jackson, he will not miss a single line the rest of the year with Fresno State. What do you think?
I agree.
Okay. Well, all I can tell you then is you got to make sure you read the board every week when you have the friends' predictions with Phil and Jackson and Scott Bemis. And do you have Lucio? Who is it that you're fourth right now?
Yeah, Lucio's on there as well.
Okay, so check that out, and you'll see that Phil not only makes it correct, he tells you exactly the final score of the game, and he tells you the player of the game. It's remarkable. Like I said, Jackson has enough money to certainly front it. I mean, they're paying you, what, $250K a year just to do recruiting for Oregon. Am I right about that? Hello?
Not quite.
Not quite. Falling just short. All right. I know it's somewhere in that neighborhood. All right. Benito, that's for you. Jackson, here's the bottom line with Fresno State. They've got a bye week. They have Nevada in. No disrespect to the Wolfpack. And I know, as Paul and I have discussed, and you and I have as well, and Panish, what have you, Hawaii and Nevada are two blood rivals. I know San Jose State, it's a brotherhood battle, if you will, of state schools. San Diego State the same way. But as far as pure animosity, just waiting, well, look what we saw. We got field goal kickers mocking one another at a game, okay? You got a field goal kicker that's trying to somehow offset Bryson Donaldson's hula. That's Hawaii and Fresno State. No disrespect to Nevada. The Bulldogs should be able to win the game. So I'll ask you, if they get by Nevada, how confident are you that this team will go to Colorado, to Fort Collins, the next Friday after that, this is a bye week right now, and get a critical win? Because as we've talked, Jackson, you don't know what tie break can be the one that destroys you, even if you're off to a great start, because you could be a very strong third in a three-way tie and end up out of the conference title game.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Nevada, it feels like they've almost got so much going in-house trying to figure themselves out that it's going to be hard to probably put too much stock into the rivalry. I mean, Hawaii was on a pretty good roll. Both teams were going in confident and ready to really clash, and that's what happened. I think Nevada's got a little too much on their own plate to worry about right now. And then getting to Colorado State, I think it's just a little early. I'm curious to see. They've got a game against Washington State, and they go to San Diego State. Curious to see a little more of the sample size, just because they barely beat Northern Colorado. They barely lost UTSA. They opened at Washington, lost by a couple of scores. They've had a bye. So it's just been kind of a weird sample size so far. I think the next two games will really give us an idea of how good or not this Rams team is. And I mean, if they don't look good against those two teams, you feel pretty good about the Bulldogs rolling in there. I think with this bye, two games, and you get another bye, it sets up really well to put a lot into these two game plans and then do it again with another two-game stretch after that.
Assuming that Boise State game is going to be as advertised, Jackson, where is the third team right now that would be the biggest danger of keeping the Bulldogs out of the conference title game? As you know, I said right at the start of the year, I expected Fresno State to be in the top two at the end. The Broncos are still a good enough team. They are not the dominant team they were with Genty. That's obvious. But assuming it's going to be tough to keep Boise State out with the home games they have, including the Fresno State game, where is the other team? Is it UNLV? Who is it?
Yeah, it's I think for Fresno State, probably as far as standings go, you know, UNLV is the one you worry about, especially since you don't have a chance to beat them at the
right.
I think just from Fresno State's own schedule, you kind of worry about where you might get tripped up. And, yeah, I don't know how good Colorado State is, but you kind of just go in assuming both teams are going to be physical and it's probably going to be close. And, you know, always put yourself in a situation to be on the wrong end if you don't really overpower a team in that type of a game. So that's one you worry about a little bit, I think. San Diego State looked like no concern at all, and now all of a sudden that just dominated Cal. I think both on the schedule and in the standings, that's one to worry about. And then I also look at Utah State and San Jose State. I think those are two teams that have some tools that can make games a little difficult, and they are teams that might be better in November than they are right now. So, it's not really easy ones on the schedule, but you figure they'll get Nevada and Wyoming, and just about every other game on the schedule could be a pretty good battle.
All right, the last question for you. We've talked, and I talked yesterday again, that the thing I like about Fresno State, first of all, I like the fact that Manance is in complete control emotionally. It's great to have an emotional coach and all of that kind of stuff. I'm 40, okay, by the way, who's looking for different work, even though he's got a buyout of, what, $15 million or $20 million. So he's not going to, talking about Mike Gundy, he's not going to be on food stamps anytime soon. But it's great to have the fiery coach. But it's also nice to have a guy, even when the calls are going against you, even when your field goal kicker is missing critical kicks, even when there's an INT or a fumble, that he just does not lose his composure. Matt Entz gives you that vibe. I've been here before. I have seen the good and the bad, and I've hoisted trophies, so I know what I'm doing. That having been said, Jackson, keep saying it. Defense travels, and the Bulldogs defense will be just fine on the road. They will also be great at home. but the running game has got to travel. Are we going to see a Fresno State team that's going to see so much concentration on that running game that it is going to turn into mandatorily a short passing game early on no matter what? Or can the Bulldogs go into conference with the offensive line issues and say, we're going to impose our will, and no matter what you think about it, we're going to run it down your throat? What is the more likely occurrence going forward?
Well, I think the good thing is that they've been very good in the short passing game.
Yes.
People have frustrations about the passing game. It's not because they're not executing on these short dinks and dunks. If they can run the ball well enough and get those 4 or 5 yard passes well enough, I think this offense has a chance to put up points any game. I don't think they're going to be totally derailed by anyone. It's just, can they take another step? Can they get the downfield passing game going to where they're really dangerous and they really have to keep defenses off balance and they can't stack the box so well, because the sky is the limit if they can do that. If they can't, well, you're going to have a lot of games, probably like the one we just saw, where it's going to be tight and you can't afford a drop here, or you know, a pass short of the sticks there on third down. There's going to be a lot of that, and I think this team's very comfortable there. You'd like to have a little more breathing room if you could afford it.
That's a great point. You know, in the 49er heyday, the West Coast offense, first of all, was more run-oriented than people think. When the 49ers beat the Cowboys at the start of the 49er dynasty, that would be at the end of the 81 season in January of 82, the final drive, on that drive of 13 plays, 9 of them were runs, and that's because Dallas was playing the pass. And the 49ers used that, and they turned the short passing game and really what amounted to elongated handoffs, if you will. It was a quick flip to the side, and it's called a pass, but it was really essentially a run. The problem was, over the years, as defenses evolved through the 80s into the 90s, the 49ers were not taking the top off the defense the way they did in the mid-80s when Rice came around, and defenses started to compress things. And before you know it, your running game and your short passing game stalled. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Jackson, and it's something Fresno State has to look out for. That having been said, however, when you look at this team right now, do you say they are absolutely on course to be a dominant figure throughout this particular conference? That though Bob Quatta mentioned there could be trouble ahead with those issues, for instance, not scoring off of turnovers, etc., that this team is clearly on its way to the conference title game, barring major injury?
The defense looks dominant. I look at, again, Nevada and Wyoming, I feel like you're probably pretty comfortable. I think the other five games are all going to be pretty competitive and probably a lot of close finishes. And if whenever you're in one of those spots, you have a chance to fall. And I mean, if you drop one or two, then you're essentially out of the conference championship race. So it's tough to say that they're just going to roll through all these games and win them all convincingly. But I think we talked all offseason about this team should be built to win close games, and that's exactly what they've turned out to be. And so you feel like whenever they're in those spots, they're not on the verge of making a mistake or letting one get away, that they're going to be the team that comes out on top. It's just, again, you know, you're one weird play away from losing a game like that. It's just a lot of things have to go right and wrong for a game for that final score to be what it was. So,
right.
This is a team that probably doesn't have great margin for error, but again, has more poise than I think a lot of the teams. That I don't think the talent in the Mountain West is all that great, and if you can be a team that wins close games, you're going to be in a really good position. But again, it's hard to be perfect.
Well, I'll tell you what, the 49ers adjusted nicely when they closed up their short passing game, and you know, there was one Super Bowl after the great run in the 80s, and there should have been a lot more in the 90s. I can tell you that, as I've told you a million times. Me and Roger Craig are not having lunch at any time in the near future. Jackson, appreciate it. On the board, real quick, anything going on?
Yes, it's currently $1 for your first month to try VIP, and that's 30% off a year. I've got some more first-hand coverage coming from the islands today, and we'll have some bi-week coverage as well to keep people entertained here until we get back and ready for the Nevada week.
Well worth it, and Jackson will also explain to you on the board at length how a lateral goes forward. All right, that's how it works. It's called a lateral, but it can be a yard and a half upfield. That's how it works, at least when you're on the islands. All right, Jackson, on that high note, I know you don't have to publish the board anymore, so you don't have to kiss their rear ends. You're fine. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to you on Thursday, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
Okay. All right. The very good sport that is Jackson Moore, as if he has a choice, well, he could hang up and then not be with me on Thursday, but he's too nice a guy. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil after this, as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to 54 Show. Thanks to Jackson for his time. Again, emailers, I'll get back to you on air as soon as I can. tdad1@att.net. Phil is coming up, his outstanding show. Find the bench, the full 3 hours today. The Giants on 1430 tonight. The A's over on 790. Again, want to bring you the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. All they're under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, we thank Ed for everything he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, unifying athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students there at the Lyles College of Engineering. And a lot of those graduates go right to Ed's business there at Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the schedule goes, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays, with our good friend Radovedic in Fashion Furniture, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. El Paso across from River Park, stop by, see Phil. Great furniture, great conversation. Phil shows some good eats as well. You also can give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows for you. He's got the Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. That takes place on Wednesdays on our sister station, The Deuce, 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evening. And Paul also has his fine show, long-running show from First String Sports on 1430, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to noon. That's Central Valley Sports Report. As I mentioned, we're with you at 2 o'clock each and every day, where you can reach me at tdad1@att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcasts there. We'll wrap up the Giants and A's seasons this week, and then we will start exclusive coverage of the playoffs next week. It will juggle the schedule around. I'll be off for a couple of days for sure next week for another procedure, and I know Phil will be on as much as possible, because when the games hit both stations, we have baseball wall-to-wall, and that will happen beginning next week right through the World Series. Of course, the NFL front and center for us. The national games on Thursday, on Sunday nights, on Monday. Don't forget about Major Wager Monday. Carter and the entire gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota. A great time. It's a doubleheader again coming up this Monday, by the way. So stop by for that if you can. Everything for the station, as I mentioned, 1430ESPNFresno.com. The live links and podcasts and the app are there. So get the app. Makes it a lot easier. I get emails about this all the time. And finally, talk about the National Football League, 49ers, Raiders, and Rams all across this weekend coming up. The 49ers injury ravaged right now. And on Friday nights, keep in mind, Friday Night Lights, great matchups with Phil, with Paul Metters, and when the Bulldogs are at home, or in this case a bye week, you have got Pat Hill there, and also they're at La Monica for a terrific matchup this weekend, and Phil will tell you all about it on his show. The final reminder, I want to thank our good friends at KFC for all their support. We're talking about the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and one more time, the hot and spicy wings and wedges. Potato wedges are back for a limited time. So is the KFC fried chicken sandwich. The other competitors are reducing the size of their meals and upping the price. KFC is not, bigger and better than ever with the chicken sandwich, just $3.99 right now. Also keep in mind, on Tuesdays you still have the great deal, $10 for the 8-piece bucket, and Wednesday the $5.99 chicken fried steak. We thank everybody at KFC, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We thank Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And again, thanks to Jackson for being such a great sport and to Jorge for his wonderful work. And Phil is coming up to tell you how you can retire early, just the way Phil is, because he is like James Holzhauer, a guy who is a multimillionaire because of his ability to pick games. He'll give you his personal phone number if you ask him. I'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.